Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing Bitcoin blowing up, cars that hold their value, and Christmas trees. So hot right now.
Yeah, buddy, that's right. Every Friday episode, you and I, we tackle several headlines, and specifically, we're talking about how they relate to our personal finances, how they relate to our money. We've got those stories, plus several others that we're going to get to, but first, man, I wanted to mention, I wanted to have a little discussion on firewood.
Ooh, okay.
So, several weeks ago, a storm downed a bunch of trees in our, you know, in Atlanta and in around our neighborhoods. It was the same storm, actually, that knocked that branch into your window.
Yes, it was.
And shattered it. But there were a bunch of huge old 100-year-old oaks that got taken down by that storm. And I have been going around and I've been picking up firewood on the side of the road. I've been picking that up, splitting it. You and I, we actually did some wood splitting recently after we recorded one Friday episode.
Nice to feel like a lumberjack that day.
Yeah, it's a good workout too, man. It's a lot of fun. But so I kind of wanted to ask you the question in your mind, is it frugal or cheap to, you know, if you see some firewood on the side of the road or if you see a downed tree and it's cut up into perfect length sections, you know, would you take that and load it up in your car and take it home?
Oh, heck yeah.
Would you come back and make four more trips? Because, which is also what I did because I felt like I'd hit the jackpot, man. Like these pieces were cut into perfect length rounds. And I was like, this is the perfect kind of wood I can take home and split to use for bonfires.
Yeah, so sometimes they're just way too big, right? Not manageable unless also have a chainsaw,
which I don't,
cut them even further,
right?
But no, dude, I think that's frugal, man. Take advantage of the free firewood. And I saw your pile in the backyard.
It's free fuel, man.
It's pretty impressive how big your pile has gotten.
The split wood pile.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it tucked up under the playhouse there. And so part of the reason, obviously, it's fun to have bonfires in the backyard, but Kate and I, we actually recently purchased a wood burning stove. And so that's a part of the reason why we've kind of doubled down on our fuel collection efforts. We want to make sure we've got plenty of firewood to be able to burn. For us, it's kind of a nostalgic thing. Like back after college, I had a wood-burning stove and I lived up in North Carolina. And it was literally the only source of heat in our house. And so ever since those days, right, that's when Kate and I first started dating. She was still in college, but she would drive up and visit. And, you know, we'd always have a bunch of friends over. We've got the fire going. We've got very fond memories of the joy that a wood-burning stove brought us. And so we actually gifted that to each other for Christmas coming up. But also, man, it turns out that this is the perfect time to buy one of those because there is a $300 federal tax credit for biomass stoves.
Oh, there you go.
And a wood stove 100% qualifies as a biomass stove. It's got to meet some specific requirements. But other than that, man, I mean, for us, that almost halved the cost of the stove. We got a $700 stove. We're going to get $300 off of the federal tax credit. So we're only paying $400. And for us, man, that's money well spent.
Yeah, wood-burning stoves like produce a really luxurious kind of heat, I feel like.
Oh, it's a good way to describe it.
Instead of, you know,
this is that premium heat.
Exactly. That's the way it feels. It kind of like cuts through everything, the heat does. Like your couch feels warm all the way through. And so it's like radiating heat to you while you're sitting on it. I don't personally have one, but yeah, they're awesome, man. So I'm glad you're able to get the sweet federal tax credit.
Yeah, $300, dude.
Cut the price down
on
it.
We were thinking about it anyway, but with that added incentive, I thought, okay, no, this is the perfect time to go for it. And the thing is, you have to take advantage of that before the end of this year. So that tax credit, you have to have made the purchase before December 31st. So time is running out. I'll put a link to more information on that tax credit if others out there are interested.
Nice. All right. Sounds good. And real quick, before we get into the stories we found interesting this week too, Matt and I are planning an end of the year episode. And what we want to do inside of that episode is to feature your money wins. Where have you succeeded when it comes to your personal finances in 2020? So similar to our Ask HTM episodes where you submit a voice memo and then we answer those questions, well, we want to hear your voice telling us and telling your fellow listeners about your money wins this year. It can be as simple as having cut a habitual expense that you had every week, or something really huge like quitting a stressful job or paying down a massive chunk of student loans. And with 2020 being such a dumpster fire, it's going to be so nice to hear everybody's money wins and to be able to celebrate them together. And I think that episode is going to be a lot of fun and also just give everybody out there just some more ideas when it comes to saving money. So yeah, please send those in. Just create a voice memo on your phone and shoot us an email at howtomoneypod@gmail.com. gmail.com, and we'll feature those in a special episode at the end of the year.
Yeah, man, that's right. And we were just talking about wood down trees. Let's talk about Christmas trees for a second. Christmas tree sales are spiking this year, dude. Both the real trees out there as well as the artificial ones. I feel like this kind of gels with what I've heard from different family and neighbors buying trees. But Joel, this is kind of like the boxers or briefs question. where do you land on this? Are you do you do the real tree or you do the artificial tree?
See, I'm a both and kind of guy, right? So we have
surprisingly, you're the boxer brief guy.
We have the real Christmas tree inside the house. We have an artificial Christmas tree on the front porch it was like a hand-me-down tree from my parents. So they actually went out to get a new tree this year, and they said like there were very few left. Apparently the stock has been picked over. And then I talked to another friend and they were going to pick up a live Christmas tree. It sounded like the line was out of the parking lot and order to pick one up. So I don't know. I guess I got lucky going like literally the first day they started selling them. But I'm all about both, man. Like, you don't have to have just one. We got a bunch of trees in our house.
I know that you guys have been wanting to get that front porch tree going on, because was it last year that you saw one on the side of the road and you picked it up?
Yes. But it was trash.
It was just a piece of junk.
Like, no wonder it was.
It had snapped in half or something, and they had taped it, and you didn't see that right away. So you loaded it up, took it home,
and
set it up.
It was so heavy.
And Emily was like, no, we can't put this up.
No, she wanted me to get it. She told me to go back and get it. And I was like,
At the time, you didn't know that it was busted up. But once you brought it home, you realized that you can't keep that thing.
Exactly.
We're 100% on the artificial tree, dude. For years, Kate and I...
It is the most money savvy way to go, right?
Yes. Dude, okay, so last year we bought this tree. It was $150 with tax. And this is a 9-foot tree, so it's huge, right? Dude, you pay for an 8 to 9 foot tree here locally, you're paying like $90 for that. And so you hang onto this tree once and use it a second year, and it more than pays for itself, first of all, right?
I got a 7 to 8 foot for $50. So
that's good.
That's not terrible, but
even still, like 3 years of using that artificial tree is gonna, you know, it's gonna pay for itself at that point. And then for us though, it's about the convenience. In recent years when we've gone to pick out the tree, we're just going to the big hardware store. Like, we don't go to a lot. We don't go to a farm. If we lived in North Carolina and we're going to like a Fraser Fir Christmas tree farm and we get to pick it out and cut it and do that whole thing, sure, that's a completely different story though, you know, like you're paying for the experience.
Yeah,
but I don't know, living in the city, it's just kind of like, all right, let's go get the tree real quick, and we kind of just find one real quick, loaded it, throw it in the van. It's not like this experience, and it's just kind of a hassle. And so for us, man, with the kids being able to this year for the first time to pull it out of the attic, walk it down the steps, set it up, throw the, you know, get the lights on there, oh my gosh, it was so nice to not have to worry about waiting in line or wrestling with the fact that, you know, the place where we put the tree every year is directly over a heating vent. There's all these things that have been going against us when it comes to real trees. But I will say, I'm going to miss the smell.
Yeah. They do smell good. But I don't know. You can get some balsam fir candles or something, you know, make it feel like that. And we've also got a bunch of those going too. So.
Yeah. They sell those at Aldi as well.
So. Yep. We got them from Aldi.
I saw them last time I was there.
Well, so yeah, to any of our listeners who haven't yet bought a Christmas tree, good luck, because I think the prices are going up on both real and artificial trees. So hope you find something awesome for your house.
Well, they're saying too, a lot of folks are doing it for the experience as well, just like getting outdoors, getting some fresh air. It's a fun, safe kind of activity that the family can do given the few options we've had this year.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Matt, let's talk about Bitcoin for a minute. It's something that I don't think I've ever talked about Bitcoin on the podcast.
Just in passing, I think.
Yeah, just maybe as like a little fodder for jokes. But our listeners have probably actually seen a lot of headlines recently about how Bitcoin is blowing up. It hasn't been priced this high since right around 3 years ago. And evidently a big reason that it surged back then, a few years back, was due to folks sitting around the table at Thanksgiving, explaining to family members how it works. And then everyone went home and bought some of it themselves. I guess that's a perfect family conversation around, you know, on the holidays. Like, let's avoid politics. Let's talk about Bitcoin instead.
Why not?
And then if that was you, the price of Bitcoin went up between Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2017, but then you ended up sitting on a pretty big loss as the price of Bitcoin has basically cratered since then, up until just about a month ago. And now, Matt, Bitcoin is back on the rise.
Yeah, for a host of different reasons. It's kind of on the rise again. We won't dive into all that. But man, the thing is, neither of us own any Bitcoin for the same reason that like we don't own any gold, right? And that's because it isn't an investment. You know, Bitcoin's best case scenario is that it is kind of viewed similarly as gold, right? In that it's a way to store value. meaning that like it's something that holds its value and doesn't depreciate, right? But lately, man, like its wild price swings show that that's not necessarily the case. You know, at the moment, it is more speculation than investing. It's not really an investment. It's truly a medium for exchange, not unlike gold.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of why people are getting into Bitcoin. They're getting excited. They see the headlines and then they say, well, I want a piece of that. It's fun to be on the run up of something that's moving quickly. But that, of course, makes it a speculative investing right. decision, not a solid future investment to hold for a whole lot of years. So we would suggest instead ignoring the headlines for now and invest in widely diversified index funds, maybe some real estate. Don't let FOMO, your fear of missing out, get the best of you to where you're dropping your maybe year-end bonus on like some cryptocurrency investing. Do you want to dabble just a little bit? Well, Matt and I would be okay with that if you follow this rule. No more than 1% of your portfolio should be used for speculative purposes. And in particular, Bitcoin is incredibly speculative. So don't put enough of your money at risk investing in Bitcoin where it would cause you to lose sleep at night if the price came crashing back down.
Yeah, and it is possible to actually make some money, you know, if you're going to buy Bitcoin, right? We're not saying that that is, you know, not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not that you can't invest some of your money and do well, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, there's a chance you will.
I actually had a buddy text me the other day, and he said, I know you advise against single stock investing, but I bought Tesla just over a year ago. I put in like $4,000, and now I'm at like $28,000. And I was like,
good for him.
Way to go, dude.
That's awesome, yeah.
It's not that some people don't make money, and granted, he hasn't made money yet until he sells and decides that he's going to, you know, cash out. And that's always the difficult part about investing in something speculative or investing in a single stock. It's like,
or investing in the short term. Right.
Like, yeah, when am I going to take my cash off the table?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing too. Like even stock investing, there's no guarantee, right? Like anytime you hear any advertisement or see anything, like they always say that past performance is not a promise or indicator of future results, right? There's always that disclaimer because even with a stock market, there's no guarantee that it's going to continue to go up, but at least with the stock market, right? Like we've seen like over 100 years worth of stock market data, and we've seen on average the stock market go up 10% every single year versus Bitcoin. It's only even been around for 10 years, right? And so it's hard to gauge how steady of the type of performance that you're going to see out of something like Bitcoin. And so down the road, we might change our tune, right? As there have been more and more years of growth. And as we've been able to track the performance of Bitcoin, it's like maybe like the stock market was back in the early days. It's like, ooh, not too sure. Like, how's this actually going to pan out? How's this going to perform? But because we've had so much time and so many years that we can look back to and reference, that gives me much more confidence when it comes to investing in the stock market, especially the stock market as a whole or smaller indexes like the S&P 500, as compared to cryptocurrency.
Yeah, so if you've got Bitcoin headline fatigue, so do we, and maybe just don't invest according to the headlines. That's always a bad way to go, right? And Matt, speaking of fatigue, I've been seeing some stories about pandemic fatigue.
You're tired of it?
I'm definitely tired of it.
Oh, I am too.
Okay. I think we all are to a certain degree. And I think it's influencing our behaviors. It's influencing how people are acting and what we're buying, including people are really tired of cooking at home right now, especially, right, if you cooked a big Thanksgiving meal last week. That makes sense. Maybe that was a big endeavor. But this fatigue is particularly leading people to get takeout more frequently. And by the way, we're all about supporting local restaurants when you can at this time and if it fits into your budget. But at the same time, I think the even worse thing is it's leading people to buy more processed and packaged foods when they do go to the grocery store. Mm. So yeah, frozen pizzas, chicken wings in a bag, that kind of stuff that's terrible for you.
Dude, it makes me think of in college, I used to buy this shredded barbecue that came in a little tub. I think it was called Lloyd's.
Okay.
And there's no way that was good for me.
Yeah. So yeah, these processed, very packaged processed foods, yeah, they're almost always worse for you from a health standpoint. And two, they cost more money. They're not great from you from a budget standpoint either. So I know we're all going through some pandemic fatigue, but if you have found yourself reaching for those prepackaged items that are really unhealthy more recently, best to stay away.
Yeah, man. Yeah. For your health, stick to the fresh foods whenever possible. And for your budget, make it a point to try to do more cooking at home, even if you are kind of getting tired of it. Think through, try to find some ways to spice it up. We'd recommend for you to check out budgetbites.com and see how low you can get the price per serving.
And by the way, that's Bites with a Y, B-Y-T-E-S.
Oh, yeah. We interviewed Beth on the podcast. When was that? Earlier this year?
Yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah. We can link to that episode in our show notes. But yeah, referring back to her site, man, that could be one way to try out some new dishes while, you know, challenging yourself to eat in and eat healthier, and at the same time, save more money while you're doing it.
No doubt. Matt also saw that the U.S. Federal Communication Commission has announced that you still can't talk on the phone on a plane in the United States. And even though, I think it's not a safety issue.
No, it's not about the technology.
Yeah. It's we can safely talk on phones in the air, and yes, it's not going to adversely affect airplanes. But you know what? I'm so glad they did it, because I just can't imagine sitting next to someone with an hour-long conversation on a flight. How annoying would that be? I'm down with the FCC's ruling, even if it's safe to actually call somebody on a flight.
Yeah, man. I mean, the thought of being stuck on a plane next to somebody where they're just yammering on for hours on end, that sounds terrible. being a captive audience like that, because that's the thing. You can't get up and go somewhere else.
Well, imagine if there's...
You got to stay in your seat.
15 people all around talking to their significant other or to their boss or whoever it is. And it's just the noise level in an airplane could just get...
Well, it's already high, but yeah, it sounds like it'd be worse.
Drastically worse, I think. Yeah.
Well, maybe what's at the crux of the issue here, dude, is consideration. Because I saw that in Europe, it is allowed. And so it makes me wonder that here in the States, just are we not as considerate to others? It makes me wonder, folks in Europe, they're able to fly around and they talk on the phone and it's not a problem. So I don't know. Maybe Europeans are a little bit more considerate of their fellow passengers.
That could be.
That's why we can't have nice things here in the U.S., buddy.
I guess not. All right. Well, we got more to get to, Matt, including what people should do with their FSA money if they haven't spent it yet, and a new study about the depreciation of cars. We'll get to some of those stories and more right after this break.
All right, buddy, we are back from the break, and let's hit the stories. The other stories that we wanted to cover today, we saw that The Visual Capitalist, which, by the way, is an awesome blog, they recently released an interesting article on some different trends that have been occurring during the pandemic. It's just really interesting to see the visuals of some of the changes that we know have been happening around us since COVID has basically changed everything, right? A couple of the most severe trends include a massive rise in screen time, understandably, right?
Makes sense. Virtual school exactly. And just, virtual work, all that stuff.
The rapid rise of e-commerce is something that has been happening, but obviously with our inability or hesitancy, to go in store to do shopping, we're looking to shop more online.
Yeah, the amount of change was just stunning. The prediction for the future amount that will of online shopping that we'll do, the trajectory has just completely changed because of the pandemic.
And also too, they noted the change in company mindset towards working at home. Many companies who were solidly against working from home were forced into it due to the pandemic, but 98% of employees want to be able to continue to work at home, at least in some capacity, moving forward.
98%, that's crazy.
I know, right? And most employers, 82%, are down with that. And so it's interesting to see, man, just how much our world has changed in 2020. It's something that I think we knew was happening at the beginning of the year. We realized that, wow, this is the first modern pandemic. This isn't something that any of us have really lived through. And it's kind of crazy to see how these changes actually are taking place.
Yeah, and I love The Visual Capitalist in particular, because the graphs and the way they draw it,
their infographics,
they're so impressive, and they really help drive home the points that they're making. And one of the other fascinating stats in that piece was more than half of Americans are happy to pay more money for an item if it means not having to interact with a retail clerk. It's we're prioritizing our health more than we are our dollars, which is understandable. It's not because you think the retail clerk is mean or or anything like that. It really truly is more of a prioritization, I think, of curbside pickup or home delivery because you're being cautious about your health.
Dude, I also feel like it has something to do with the fact that millennials are spending more money too, right? I feel like that's a way where it might be costing millennials a little bit more. We're a generation that are digital natives. And so the ability to communicate via text messages, online chat, I would personally rather do that a lot of times than to talk with somebody in person, and face-to-face communication. In particular now, like you said, when you are wearing a mask, the aspects of talking to somebody in person aren't fun anymore. You know, like there's so much that's lost when it comes to the visual cues and the different things that you pick up on when you're talking with somebody in person.
The way you can connect with someone is so much harder.
Exactly. And so on top of that, you take a generation and it's like, well, I didn't really care. I mean, I like talking to you. I like talking to my friends, but if I have an option to just click something, yeah, that sounds really nice, you know? And so the ability to do that more and more, make purchases online, paying more for that, I think is a result of that, even if the prices are a little bit higher.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story, Matt. This one's about car depreciation. And there was a new study that was released by iccars.com that ranked the types of vehicles out there that hold their value the best and the ones that don't hold their value very well. Surprisingly, a couple of Jeep Wranglers and a couple Toyota pickup trucks depreciate the least, and they took four of the top five spots. If you think about it, I guess this kind of makes sense, right? As the design of Wranglers and Toyota trucks are pretty classic. They don't really change that much year to year. So folks are willing to pay top dollar for a five-year-old Jeep because they still look kind of like the new models.
Yeah, yeah. You see just the icon of the Jeep Wrangler and it's like, oh yeah, that's kind of what it looked like 40 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Dude, on the chart of vehicles that depreciate the most, dude, it is all fancy luxury cars like a Maserati, a couple of Mercedes were on there, and a ton of BMWs were on that list. So whereas the Jeep Wrangler Unlimited only depreciated 30% over its first 5 years. A BMW 7 Series drops over 70% in value, dude. That is so crazy. That is insane. And so I guess if you're in the market for a luxury sedan, then, you know, buying used is definitely the way to go. But even still, you know, they point to the fact that the Jeep Wrangler, it only depreciates 30%. Even that, in my mind, is kind of crazy.
It's a lot.
Like, that is a lot of money, like 30% over 5 years. And the average, just the overall average is 50%. Like, that's the average car depreciation in the first 5 years is 50%. So you're looking at 10% every single year. And we were just talking about the stock market, right? And how, you know, the average return every single year is 10%. So literally buying a car new, like, you're basically doing the complete opposite of investing your money. Instead of seeing your money grow at 10% every year, you're literally watching that amount of money go down by 10% every single year.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that, you know, you should never buy a car, but at the same time, it's just so important to be aware of that.
Yeah, you have to know the numbers. Yeah. You have to realize how big of a deal depreciation is. It's actually the number one cost of car ownership. People maybe obsess over
gas mileage,
a few more miles to the gallon, exactly, right, or something like that. But what they should be looking at is specifically, how much depreciation am I likely to see from buying this car?
70% on a BMW 7 Series. Maybe that's where the 7 comes from, because they're like, oh, the higher the series, the more the depreciation. So 5 Series, only 50%.
Yeah, pretty costly. And interestingly enough, the Nissan Leaf, which is a car that I owned for 6.5 years and just recently departed with, was on the list of cars with highest depreciation. That makes sense, right? The older EV models are depreciating more rapidly, in large part because of the increases in technology. I knew what I was getting into when I did that, and part of the reason that I bought that car was because of federal and state tax incentives, which essentially cut the price of that car in half.
Yeah, not unlike my wood stove.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, if you bought a Nissan Leaf like me, if you were one of the few people that actually bought one back then you might have taken a big hit too, but in all likelihood, it wasn't that bad of a hit because of the tax incentives that went along with that purchase.
Right, yeah. And also, man, since we're out of money, we've got to mention the most affordable cars out there that hold their value the best, and that is the Honda Fit, the Honda Civic, Toyota Corolla, and the Kia Soul. All four of those cars were at the top of the heap, man. I love those cars. You know, not only are they affordable and they hold their value well, but they're also just crazy reliable, have low overall cost of ownership, in large part, like you mentioned, because of their depreciation is so low. And now, too, now that you sold your Nissan, man, you and I are both the only car that you guys have, the only car that we have is a Honda. And so a little hat tip to all the Honda owners out there. Toyota and Kia as well, I guess. They did well.
Yeah. All right, man, let's move on. I was reminded recently that people need to be really thinking about their FSA money, their flexible spending account money, and they need to use it wisely at the end of the year. Some of our listeners might have hundreds or even thousands of dollars left over in their FSA that they haven't used. And while many companies will allow you to roll over up to $500 into next year, make sure you don't completely lose some of it by not using it at all. And that's always been the worst part about FSAs, is that you allocate money hoping that you'll spend it all in the up upcoming year. And then if you don't, you actually lose it when you roll over to the next year. FSAs are a way to avoid tax on some of your healthcare spending, and we think it's a great vehicle, but you have to be kind of cautious in how you approach it. And so for folks out there who have money left over in their FSA that they haven't spent this year, make sure to go check and see how much you have left in there, and use it up so you don't lose it.
Yeah, and one of the reasons too that the CDC points to that there is so much money in a lot of individuals' FSAs is because a third of adults have skipped out on routine checkups and whatnot because of COVID. Yet again, one of the ways that COVID has changed our lives this year. You've got an FSA, don't you?
That's right, yeah.
You got a heap of money kind of sitting there that you're going to spend on Band-Aids?
No, I got a little bit left in there, but I'll make sure it all gets spent.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So you can spend it, you can spend that money on a lot of different things, right? You can spend it on over-the-counter meds, thermometers, sunscreen, eyeglasses and contacts, even hearing aids.
I think, what'd you say?
He's such a nerd. I almost repeated myself. I think previously, too, we mentioned how menstrual products are also now qualify as FSA eligible. So, you know, these are all things that you can stock up on in order to make sure that your FSA money doesn't go down the drain.
Yeah, for sure, Matt. All right. The last thing I wanted to mention on this episode, I wanted us to talk about was the former CEO of Zappos, Tony Hsieh. Sadly, he died last week from injuries that he suffered from a house fire while visiting some of his family members in Connecticut. The details are still being investigated, and obviously it's an incredible tragedy, but it just reminded me of kind of the life that he lived and the ways in which he left a real mark, both in business and just as an individual. The way that he lived and his bent towards happiness, especially the happiness of others, is worth mentioning. He lived his life essentially in a way that he wanted his employees and everyone he surrounded himself with to be incredibly happy. And that guided everything that he did in business and in his personal life. So it was just sad to hear about his tragic passing, but it reminded me of a life that he lived and the life that he lived. He lived really well, at least from everything I've read.
Yeah, at one point he said that his definition of success is that you could lose everything you have and truly be okay with it. Man, I love that. I think that's a great definition. And not only was he a really interesting guy, he really changed the way that companies think about how they run their businesses and the customer experience in particular. You know, all of that came out of his mission to make other people happy. There is an old episode I remember listening to of How I Built This, I think, where he was being interviewed there. And he was talking about how Zappos was a customer service company that happens to sell shoes, right? And so in his mind, he was way more interested in the impact that you can have on other individuals, the impacts that you can have on people's lives versus the actual thing, whatever that happens to be, that you're selling. I think that's an amazing philosophy and outlook on how you approach life. We could totally use some more companies like that, and we could totally use more leaders leading companies who believe in that. And so to that, Tony will definitely be missed.
Yeah, one of the coolest things I read too was that he lived in an Airstream. So he really put his money where his mouth was. He valued experiences over things. And he valued
different way of looking at the world.
Yeah, he valued his happiness and other people's happiness over money. And you know, we talk about money a lot on the show. We want people to handle their money well. But amassing huge, huge amounts of money so you can live a super fancy lifestyle isn't something that you and I are about. And it's not something that Tony Hsieh was about. So yeah, we felt compelled to mention that on the show. And so yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. We wish you the happiest of weekends and hope to see you back here on Monday, where we're interviewing our friend Rich, who's going to talk about negotiating a pay raise and what it looks like to navigate the current job environment. So yeah, that's going to be a really good one. You don't want to miss it.
That's right. And if you like this show, don't forget to tell a friend about it. So Joel, that's going to be it, buddy. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.